Good morning and welcome to Calvary Chapel. Thank you for joining us. As Dan said, I want to share with you today on endurance. So if we could take a moment, we'll bow our hearts to ask the Lord to open our hearts up to what's being shared today. Lord, we thank you that we can gather together as a body. And as we do, we ask that your word would be fruitful today. Lord, the ears would be soft. Things that are spoken would be understood. We know that you're able to do those things. Lord, and we ask that as we come together, that it would all be about you. Lord, you would be glorified in everything that we do here today. So we give you the glory and the honor and ask you just to bless the next half hour. So every day we are tempted, tested, tried, stretched, pressed by everyday life. When your circumstances are out of control, when you become overwhelmed by your situations, when everything is difficult and nothing is easy, when many things go wrong and few things go right, and you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, that nagging voice in your mind says, I don't need this aggravation. This is stupid. This is useless. This will never end. I quit. Paul told the Corinthians, we often suffer, but we are never crushed. Even when we don't know what to do, we never give up. You don't need endurance when things are going good, when life is nice and smooth. It seems to come naturally, but any dead fish can float down the stream of prosperity. But when that stream flows over rocks, it runs into the rapids, it goes over the waterfalls, and you begin to sink and drown, the life preserver that God throws you is endurance. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation, and the word temptation is also test. No test has overtaken you, but such that is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested beyond what you are able. But with the test, we'll provide the way of escape also. And this is the part of to this morning's study that I want to focus on, that you may be able to endure it. First, no test has ever overtaken you, but such that is common to man. You're not the first or the last person to go through a test or a trial. Whatever your test is, it is unique unto you. It is personal between you and Jesus. Second, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested beyond what you are able. God is in control of your test. He knows what you're able to endure. He knows your limits. He wants you to learn what your strengths and your weaknesses are. Third, God will provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. You'll be able to endure that test. He says when the test is over, it says God will provide a way of escape, but not always immediately. What he will provide immediately is a way for you to endure. Paul told Timothy, take your share of hardships and sufferings which you are called to endure as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The battle belongs to the Lord. The test you are in belongs to the Lord. The purpose of your test belongs to the Lord. When the test that you are in no longer serves the purposes of God, your test will be over. The steps of a good man are directed by the Lord. The Lord directs your steps. The Lord delights in every detail of your life. That includes the tests and trials. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord holds him by the hand. The Lord is holding your hand throughout your whole life. He's not going to let go of you, for he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus is there for you to endure. In this day of instant gratification, the now, now, now attitude, I want it now, fix it now, change it now, make it go away now, That is the opposite of God's economy. Excluding miracles, God's timing is slow and with cause. He has reason. Noah preached 120 years with only 7 converts. And those were the same 7 he had before he started. Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years for the promise of Isaac. Moses was 40 years on the backside of the desert cleaning up after sheep. He was another 40 years leading the Israelites through the desert. That's 80 years he spent. Daniel was 70 years in captivity. Israel was 430 years in Egypt, most of it in bondage. There was 483 years between Daniel and Messiah. There's been 2,000 years since Messiah until now. God is not in a hurry. He is not in a hurry to accomplish his purposes. He told Jeremiah, and he tells you and me, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." And later he told him, "I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." From the foundation of the world, God had and has a plan for your life. That plan is an eternal plan. What are a few earthly years to God when it comes to the plan of life that he has? Whose timetable are you on? Yours or his? I can assure you that God is not on your schedule. Paul was a great encourager of enduring. He's also a great example of someone who endured. He says, "The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race." Paul says, "I made it to the end. I have kept the faith. There is reserved for me a crown of righteousness." If ever anyone had a good excuse to give up and quit, it was Paul. In 2 Corinthians 11:24, he gives a quick testimony of the things that he chose to endure. He says, 5 times I was given 39 lashes by the Jews. 3 times I was whipped by the Romans, and once I was stoned. I have been in 3 shipwrecks. Once I spent 24 hours in the water. In my many travels, I have been in dangers from floods and from robbers, in dangers from fellow Jews and from Gentiles. There have been dangers in cities, dangers in the wild, dangers on high seas, dangers from false friends. There have been work and toil, and often I've gone without sleep. I've been hungry and thirsty. I've often been without enough food, shelter, or clothing. And not to mention other things, but every day I'm under the pressure of my concern for all of the churches. In spite of all of this and more, Paul can boast that I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. We can take counsel from Paul. You know that Paul had a physical malady throughout his ministry life, right? The thorn in his flesh. 3 times he prayed that the Lord would have it, take it away. God said to him, "No, live with it." And that's a paraphrase. Paul suffered all that he testified about. And after seeing others healed, others delivered from demons, even the dead raised to life, by the same God that said yes to them, but told Paul no. What will you do when the God that you worship and serve says no as an answer to your prayers? Will you give up and quit, or will you keep the faith? 3 times Jesus asked his Father, "Let this cup pass." But his Father did not let the cup pass. You know what Jesus endured, especially the last day of his life. Jesus knew there was no other way. He said, "Thy will be done." If the Father can say no to his Son, are you greater than Jesus? Have you ever cried out to God to take this cup away? "I can't bear this any longer. Take this burden from me. Being me is painful. I'm miserable. Jesus understands every one of our weaknesses and infirmities because he has been tested in every way that we have, and yet Jesus endured them all. Not my way, not my desire, not my plans, not my choices, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus declared it on the cross, it is finished. Is he not our example? Has he not set the standard? Look what he endured to finish for you. Look what he endured to finish for me. Why can't you go another day? An hour, a minute. Being persuaded of this very thing, that God, having begun a good work in you, he will finish it. It's Philippians 1:6. With his spirit within you, his power is within you. You plus Jesus equals endurance. So how do you endure? What does it take to finish? We who are called according to his purposes, in Romans 8:28, know that there is no endurance possible for us without a spiritual bond with Jesus. That personal relationship that Jesus calls us to. And because of that relationship, we can apply his word and his promises to our daily circumstances. You have the operating manual for life, the Bible. Use it to find scriptures that give you hope and that you can anchor to. Now, this is just my opinion and not thus saith the Lord, but I find that patience is the key that opens the door of endurance. Patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, or more simply, waiting. Without patience, you will find yourself out of step with Jesus. Patience will allow you to think, to seek, to listen, to evaluate. Lamentations 3:26 said, "It is good that one should hope and wait patiently for the Lord to save." There is something that is to be said about waiting quietly, giving time and space for the Lord to direct your path. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. When you are overwhelmed with your circumstances, when fear and despair grip you, a momentary pause to cry out to the Lord is needed. Take a breath. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. Patience resides in the heart, the same place where Jesus lived, the same place where his word is kept. It's a tender place. You need to be tender-hearted. The Lord will move your heart before you need to act. Ask Jesus for patience. Apply that patience when you have that urge to quit. James 1:4 in the New Living Translation says it very simply. So let patience grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. It is God's desire that you endure and finish. He has a reward for those that do. In James 1:12 in the Amplified Bible says, To be envied is the man who is patient under trial and stands up under temptation. For when he has stood the test and been approved, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Besides patience, there are some other character attributes that you can pray about. You and Jesus can work on developing and strengthening them. It's a short list. There's only 10. You don't have to have all of these, but you should at least have some of them. Your own list will contain others, And my list is not in any special order. Resilience, the ability to recover quickly from change. Life is fluid, and it changes without warning. You need to be able to bounce back after a blow. The fight isn't over just because you're down, and the enemy will kick you when you're down. Again, in 2 Corinthians 4:8, Paul says, "We often suffer, but we are never crushed. Even when we don't know what to do, we don't give up." Persistence, the continuance in a course of action. Keep pressing forward in spite of difficulty. When you meander off the path, get back onto it. When you stumble along the way, Proverbs 24:16 says, "Though the righteous man falls 7 times, he gets back up again." When you fall down, get back up. Don't lay there. Get back up. Flexibility. The quality of bending easily without breaking. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. I couldn't find that in any Bible, but I hear it quoted as scripture all over the place, right? Life is full of surprises. You need to be able to bend when life pushes on you. You need focus, the ability to pay a particular attention to a matter. Stay on task, especially the task that God has put before you. Recognize the things that distract you and cause you to be diverted from your goal. Philippians 3:14 says, "I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus." When life presses, press it back. You need determination, having a firmness of purpose, the attitude of continuing to the end of something that you're going for. Commit in your heart to continue on. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Entrust your works to the Lord, and your plans will be achieved." Courage. Having strength in the face of uncertainty. This can be difficult, especially if you suffer from fear or from insecurity or self-doubt. Squeeze hard onto God's hand and just take the next step. Joshua 1:9 says, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Remember that He's holding your hand. Courage is a great tool to have in your toolbox. It allows you to exercise trust in the Lord, believing that He will walk you through to the other side of whatever you're enduring. Acceptance, the quality of tolerating or allowing. You may have to live with something that you don't desire. It doesn't have to be just physical. It could be emotional. It could be spiritual. Maybe it's all of them at once. The night before Jesus' death, He told His closest friends in John 16:33, and this is from the Amplified Bible, "I have told you these things so that you may have peace and confidence. In the world you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Be certain. For I have overcome the world." Jesus says, "I have deprived the world of the power to harm you and have conquered it for you." Don't lose sight of that. Jesus has done the work. You need discernment, the ability to judge well. There are uncountable decisions that you make every day. Having confidence in your ability to make the correct one is necessary. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may be able to discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Wisdom. The ability to know and apply knowledge. Exercising good judgment is wisdom. Many of us know the right thing, but somehow we don't do it. I'm a big offender of that. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. Wisdom will be given to him." And lastly, humility. Lowliness of one's own importance. Humbleness comes from great strength. The strength to recognize that you are at rest with yourself. And from that perspective, you can be at rest with others. 1 Peter 5:5-6 says, "Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself before, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." God has great regard for the humble. If you struggle with humility, start by first submitting to the Lord. Surrender yourself to him. He will show you how to surrender to others. I'm going to let Paul give you the last exhortation on which I wish you to ponder. It's from 2 Corinthians 4:15-18. "These sufferings are for your benefit. And the more of you who are one to Christ, the more of you are there that thank him for his great kindness. And the more the Lord is glorified, that is why we don't give up. Though our bodies are dying, our inner strength in the Lord is growing every day. The troubles and the sufferings of ours, after all, are quite small and won't last long. Yet this short time of distress will result in God's richest blessing upon us forever and ever. So we do not look on what we can see right now, the troubles that are all around us, but we look forward to the joys in heaven, which we have not yet seen. The troubles will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever and ever." Worship team, you guys can come up. Endure until you finish. That's what God wants for you. I hope you can find some of the scriptures I share with you encouraging in that manner. Turn to Jesus. He is the one who will get you through everything. You'll get through nothing without him. Let's take a minute and pray. Father, we give you the glory and the honor for being able to sit before you, Lord, to hear what you have to say to us. Lord, help us to take it to heart and give you the thanks for how much you care and you love us each and every day. We know that as we walk, we rely on you, and you will never let us down. We thank you and praise you for all that you have done. Amen.